Today is May 29th, 2019. It is 5:50 a.m. I'm on my way to go do some work this morning at Starbucks, keep working on the Apostate Bride of Christ. And yesterday evening, I had one of the most exciting spiritual encouragements happen. I think it may be the most encouraging thing that has happened the entire time I've been walking through this situation with my wife. And I was laying down, basically the story of what happened was, as I was going through my videos and pictures for India while I was making Walking with God into the Impossible series a few weeks ago, I had finished that up. But while I was going through that, I was looking through these thousands of pictures I've taken over the years and have not organized and so forth and so on. And I came across pictures out of a book. I had taken pictures of book pages at a Barnes & Noble, and it was on the subject of suffering. And I don't remember the chapter or the book title, but in this particular picture was told the story told by a lady named Elizabeth Elliot, who passed away in 2015, and she was very well known as being the widow of Jim Elliot, who had gone into the Wadawi Indians down in Ecuador, I believe it was, and he and four other missionaries were all speared to death trying to share the gospel with them. And then Elizabeth continued to live amongst them. So what happened was, I read this story. I had taken a picture and read this story that was a really amazing story about this situation where a woman is in desperate need of this one translator. He's the only guy in the world that can translate the Bible teachings that she has from the Bible into this language so that she can minister to this group of people. And so this guy comes, and long story short, he ends up being murdered. And it looks like it's a complete waste of everything that she's done, and she can't understand, God, why would you allow this to happen? So I explain this story, and I'm reciting that story in one of my recent journal entries, and I heard it yesterday. I came across it. And so when I got home in the evening after posting, I think, number 37, I've posted through number 37 now. And after I posted it, I came home and I started thinking about that lady's story, and I was thinking about my suffering. And I just typed in Elizabeth Elliot for some reason in suffering. And up came, to see if I could listen to that book, to find that book where that story was written, and up came this book called Suffering is Never for No Reason, Elizabeth Elliot. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty remarkable. And I just thought, well, that's neat. I had no idea the book had just been published in February and just came out in March. And so I said, well, I'm going to get this book. And I did the free Audible download. I'm listening to this book, trying to take a rest. It's my morning, mid-morning rest after I've worked my first session. And I hear things coming out of her book. It sounds like she has refined my journal entries. She opens up the book with one of the first scriptures she quotes is Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory which will be revealed in us, a scripture I have quoted countless times in my recordings. She begins to go on and she speaks about Job. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. She begins to speak about the mysterious but good plan and purpose God has for suffering. She speaks about Joseph and what his brothers meant for evil, he meant for good. She goes on to talk about the creation as eagerly longing to be released from the decay that it's in right now, longing to be, you know, to see the sons of God revealed. I had just been meditating on that passage of scripture that morning, She talks about several things. I'll have to go back and listen. There were so many things that she mentioned in this first chapter between the introduction and the chapter. It literally caused me to raise up out of this like very kind of sleepy state. I raised up and I just was filled with so much joy. And I said, my goodness gracious, this lady is written like a refined version of my journal entries. Nobody could possibly believe if you'd lay this book next to my journal entries that I've been sharing through the Apostate Bride of Christ. It sounds like they were written by the same family member, which we are, you know, in Christ. But it was just extraordinary. I mean, just extraordinary to listen to this. And I was so encouraged by it. It's very difficult for me to... next morning for me to remember all the details. I'll have to go back through it, but I've continued to listen to the book this morning and I have just been so amazed. It's like there's no way for me to explain how powerful it is to hear the same words, the same thoughts, the same understanding about God's suffering, the way she described Job's life and the way I've described Job's life. And I just jumped up and I ran to my parents. I said, guys, you got to hear this. You won't believe this. This is amazing what happened. And, you know, this lady is speaking all the things that I've just been hearing in my own ears from my own recordings today. It's just remarkable. God has a plan. God is encouraging me. And it was so encouraging to me. I mean, it was just amazing. And one of the more remarkable details about her life that I had no idea is that she has been married 3 times. She lost Jim Elliot. He died after they had only been married for 3 years. She remarries years later. He then gets a cancer diagnosis and dies, and their marriage only lasts 3.5 years, like 4 years. And she, when they get the diagnosis, she's so upset and she kind of goes to God and she's like, God, we've already been through this once. I've already lost one husband, Lord. Are you going to allow me to go through this again? And I was sitting there listening to this going, my goodness, it sounds like my journal recordings. God, I've already been through this once being left by an unbeliever. Are you going to allow this to happen again? And I mean, it was just so remarkable. She ends up marrying a 3rd time, and it lasts a really long time. And then she dies, and I think he outlives her. She died in 2015. But what a remarkable, remarkable story. It gave me hope. You know, honestly, and I thought to myself, I said, you know what? It was God's will to take away 2 of her husbands. It was God's will so far to take away 1 of mine, and very well could be that he's going to take away this 2nd. And I guess I shouldn't be so quick to say, I'll never marry again. You know, just in case, you know, whatever the Lord's plan may be. I mean, it's still, at this point in time, I have no idea if, you know, Persis is going to come out of this or not. But in all likelihood, it's like I see this as a providence that in all likelihood, she is going to go. In fact, I just put up the recording yesterday about how I was seeing these providences of God that show she was going to go. And now this is like another providence. You know, here I'm listening. It's just remarkable how this book just came out in March, just 2 months ago. And I find it and I'm listening to it and it's like listening to all my journal entries. It was just amazing. It's just amazing. This woman has come to the same understandings that the Holy Spirit has been teaching me. And I told my parents, I said, you know something, I think part of my ministry, part of my purpose is to suffer for Jesus. I said, I know it's hard to understand. I said, but I really think that part of it is to reveal the glory of God. And she talks about how her widowhood after Jim Elliot had a very good purpose, that God wanted to reveal his glory in her widowhood. And that is so remarkable because God told me when he divorced me and she became so evil towards me. And I said, God, please, you know, change your heart and use her for your glory. And God said, I'm already using her for my glory. It would have been like Elizabeth asking God to raise Jim Elliot from the dead. You know, as I see my marriage situations, everybody has always put emphasis on physical death, physical death, physical death. Because in the old covenant, that's all there was physical death. There was no awareness of spiritual death. And the spirit itself had not been given, so nobody had been born again and made alive in the spirit. So it's almost like my life and my marriages, God is using to direct the focus away from just the fact that people can die physically, but to show people, more importantly, that you can die spiritually, that there's a spiritual death that takes far precedent over the physical body. So, for example, Jim Elliot and her second husband, they're both, no doubt in my mind, alive in heaven. But my ex-wife is dead spiritually, and she will not go to heaven if she remains in this condition, and I believe she will. I do not believe my first wife will be saved, and I'm not so certain that Persis ever will be. I have some promises that I believe I've received from resurrection, but I've also seen I have to trust God for his will. It's amazing. Elizabeth Elliot talked about the cup that Jesus drank, and I thought, my goodness, I'd like for her to see this scripture, John 18:11, on my phone screen, where a few months ago, God moved me to John 18:11, shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? Where I've realized this is the cup the Father has put in my hands, and I have to drink it. And it's been bitter, but I've been learning to drink it, and I've been giving him thanks. And she talks about the need for giving God thanks and how that's exactly what I've been doing. I mean, it's just so wonderful, so beautiful, and it just gave me such a huge lift that God has such a purpose for this. You know, he had a purpose for the deaths of her marriage and her widowhood and to bring himself glory through them. And he's had a purpose in, for the deaths of my marriages, both of mine. And even though so many carnal believers will look and say, well, that's not the same because they didn't die physically, it's much more the same and at a much higher level because my wives have both died of spiritual death. And oh, she even talked about the two different kinds of people that she sees in life that no matter what they go through, there are some people that are always coming out of it giving thanks to God. And then she said there are other people who just become so bitter and so hard and they're always complaining. And you can see there my ex-wife, she just has become worse and worse and worse, just bitter and complaining. It's a bad heart. It's a heart issue. Persis is not like that. She was just deceived. She still, I believe, has a good heart, but she was just deceived. That's one of the reasons why I wonder, you know, if God will allow me to stay married to Persis and he'll bring her back, because I do see that she has a good heart. But I have been so encouraged and I'm not afraid again. You know, like imagine Elizabeth, you know, marrying, losing her first husband, and then reluctantly kind of agreeing to marry again at another time, and then losing her second husband within just a few years. I mean, 3.5 years, that's basically how long my marriage is lasting. If Persis leaves in the next few months, my marriage will have lasted 3.5 years. We got married on March 24th of 2016. So that means like by August or September, it will be exactly 3.5 years if Persis leaves. And imagine her ever considering remarrying after she lost her second husband to death. A different kind of death, but nonetheless. And then she ends up remarrying when she's 51 years old. And they have a good, long, loving marriage. And I think that's something that really encouraged me. You know, that really encouraged me. That maybe I shouldn't just say, well, I guess I'll just remain single for the rest of my life. That may not be God's will. That might just be my flesh talking. You know, and so again, I have no idea. I'm speaking right now. Another thing I'm speaking right now is if Persis is already gone, because she really is. And I've come to the point where I've kind of accepted it. But that's another thing. She talked about how people ridiculed her because she didn't lose herself in the emotions of her husbands. And she can talk so what they would call flippantly about it. She's like, how can you talk about your, you know, dead husbands just so flippantly like this? And she was trying to explain the grace and the peace that God had given her. And I know that. I know what she's talking about. I just have recorded about how, you know, Madame Guillot and George Mueller and Hudson Taylor all lost multiple children and were able to do so without even shedding a tear, because of the grace of God and the acceptance of his sovereign will. And she talks obviously so much about God being sovereign in love. I mean, truly, it sounds like recordings I made several years ago. It sounds so much like it's remarkable. And it's like, I realize that God is kind of using me as a modern example in some way of suffering. And God is being glorified in my suffering. Even now, the apostate bride of Christ is bringing God glory because people see my faith in him stand strong, that I still love him and adore him no matter how much he slay me. I mean, that is something that I find truly remarkable. That I love him as much as I do in spite of all the evil that he's allowed to happen to me and the suffering and the difficulty. I have a story that is, no doubt, there's worse stories out there, but my story has so much suffering and has so many multitudes of suffering in it that it is truly remarkable that I'm able to say how much I love Father. I mean, that is a miracle. I perhaps have captured the greatest miracle I've ever seen in my life is the fact that God has been able to allow the devil to take so much from me, and yet I still love him so much and praise him so much and give him thanks, and I see his sovereign hand in this, and I see how much he's done to help me in this, and how much he's brought his name glory, and how much he's changing me into the character of Christ, and how much he's making the sufferings of Christ more real to me. I'm filled with joy, and I thank God for Elizabeth. I thank God for the release that came in my spirit as I was listening to this, where I just jumped up and I said, wow, here's another Job sister, another cousin of Job, another sister who understands. That lady suffered a tremendous amount of difficulties, not just the loss of her two husbands, but, you know, several other things that she went through. And yeah, it's just remarkable. She feels like a beloved sister to me. And I know she knows that I am through suffering. We're blood brother and sister in Christ Jesus. And wow, I mean, it's just remarkable. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory which will be revealed in us in Christ Jesus. Wow. So wow. So wow. It's interesting. I had a dream last night about, I find that very bizarre, and it might be because of the widow thing. I have not had any dreams about her. I have not thought about her at all. I think she's popped up just a few times in my recording that I had to record yesterday and cut out, where I had said, who knows, maybe I messed up, and maybe I was supposed to have married and was supposed to wait for her. And I know that's not true because God is being glorified in the suffering. But I had a dream where I was on my way to some building, and I expected to see her there. And I've had a few times over the years where I've thought about, you know, how neat it would be if she could know that she had a man who for 40 months prayed for her and loved her like as a wife, like as a husband would love a wife, that I had prayed for her for 40 months for her and her children, and always wondering if she ever experienced any blessing from that. I prayed for her faith and her relationship with God and for her business and for her children and so forth and so on. And so it was kind of weird last night that I had a dream, you know, about her. And of course, I woke up wondering this morning, you know, I wonder if she ever remarried and so forth and so on. Obviously, she was a widow. Her husband died in a plane crash. But then, of course, I put that out of my mind. I'm not writing off Persis yet, but I have found myself considering after listening to this Elizabeth thing that, you know, maybe God will it that I will marry again. You know, and this seems like I'm kind of over the hill, if you will, and the better part of my life is gone. But, you know, God has given me a promise that the latter half of my life will be so blessed that my beginnings will seem humble. You know, may it be in Jesus' name. I don't know what Father has in store. And that's the other thing is just, oh, there was one other remarkable similarity. And thank you, God, for reminding me this. I had made mention in a recording yesterday, it would have been between 32, 33, or 34. Actually, somewhere between probably 34 and 37. I make mention that at one time, I'm wrestling with God about Persis in prayer and about is she coming or going and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just wrestling with God in prayer about the whole situation. And it's like God shows me 1 Peter 5:12, this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. So stay put, number one. And then I explain how he's showing me finish the work, 8:11. In other words, he shows it to me, and then I explain in the recording that he did it in such a way that it's kind of like Daniel, where Daniel says, okay, but what about this? I still don't understand. And the angel says, go on your way. go on about your business. These things are sealed up until the time of the end. And I make reference in my journal recording that it's like God had said to me, go on your way. Go about your business, okay? Don't worry about this. You just go do what I tell you to do and you leave this to me. Oh my goodness, if she did not give an incredible example, an illustration of her first husband, Jim Elliott, as a carpenter doing his work, the thing that he hated the most was when she would stand over top of him and say, so what are you going to do with that? And how are you going to do this? And how are you going to connect this to that? And he hated it. And he would say, would you just go on about your business and then you'll see when it's done. And she said it was like God had said that same thing to her. It was an illustration of how God would say to her, just trust me. And it's like she said this several times in the recording where God would say, trust me. He would say to this. And I think, wow, I've never heard anybody say this before. I don't think except for Charles Stanley one time. And that's the words I heard when I was leaving Florida to come to Alabama, leaving behind my kids going, God, how can you expect me to leave these children and this situation? And God says, trust me. It's remarkable. The same God speaking the same language by the same Spirit. I mean, it's just incredible. And he was telling her basically, you know, go on about your business. And so here I had just posted those recordings yesterday. And now I'm hearing this book from a dead woman who her recordings have never been released before, never before published, were these six CDs that were turned into a book. And she's talking about God explaining, just trust me, go on your way. Don't bother me about this. You've already made your petitions, now have faith and trust me and go. And that's where I'm at with God. God's telling me, now finish the work, leave her to me. And so right now I have no idea what's going to happen with Persis. I have no idea if God is going to turn this romantic story into an amazing resurrection story, bring life back to her, or if he's going to allow me to experience the loss of a second wife. And maybe he's got a third wife for me that I'm not aware of, and that I will have a blessed long union one day, or maybe not. Maybe I have no idea. Maybe I'll remain single. Maybe Persis will leave and come back. I have no idea, but I'm getting the picture right now. Just do what I've asked you to do and mind your business. Go on. Don't look over my shoulder on all this. I've been sensing that from Father, because I am somebody who so badly wants to deconstruct and trace out the Lord. And you know, I've told my parents the other day, I was like, I just don't understand the New Zealand thing. And I thought, you know what? I told them last night, I said, maybe the New Zealand thing was like where God gave me something to focus on because I'm so perhaps gifted or stubborn, maybe a little bit of both in the way of trying to trace God's hand out. Maybe God sometimes intentionally allows confusing things for me to believe. He gives me something to believe that will distract me away from trying to figure out and trace him and what he's really doing. Example, you know, why am I now, you know, seeing all this Texas license plates a couple of weeks ago and feeling like, God, are you telling me to go back to Texas? And I was getting angry about going because I didn't want to go. And then I finally said, okay, if you want me to go, I'll go. And then I have this situation where, you know, these really bizarre three Texas license plates show up, you know, in the same morning here at Starbucks where I'm at now, and then the morning previous to that where the Texas license plate 1514, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And I'm just going, okay, God, why would you be doing this now? I don't understand this, but I'm just like, nevertheless, okay, I'll go. If you want us to go to Texas, I'll go to Texas. And took the tiny house up for sale. It doesn't make sense when you listen to all my recordings and all the providence that God used to convince me I was going to New Zealand. And I even joked with Isabella, hey, maybe I'm just coming to pick you guys up. You and William, we're just coming through to pick you guys up. And then we're all going to end up having, you know, going to New Zealand. So I've never understood that, what that was all about. But that very well may be the case. God, it may be that it's a few years before we head to New Zealand. And, but I also thought, you know what? I could see how God used to keep me focused until he was able to get situation right with Persis and get her in my life as my wife. And then I can also see how God used New Zealand, if that's the same situation, to keep me focused and distracted and to release Jared and Kristen to go on their own to Austin for a time. God removed the feeling and desire from my heart to go and then gave me hot and heavy New Zealand. And I could see how he could work this all together. You know? So And God definitely seems to hide things from me a little bit. It's like it's weird. He lets me know things and gives me insights, but then there's these other situations where he really seems to hide, you know, from me. And I think that's something that I need to meditate on more and understand that really is a reality of God in my life. So now it's time for me to go back and get some work done. But I am very, very excited about God encouraging me this way. Thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ.